Sometime driving home from work today, I thought I need to write a Retro Showdown rap.
Oh God.
I didn't
Do
get
you?
I didn't get very far writing
Do
it.
you? Oh good.
I just want to use crazy
I'd
lines
love to hear what you have
and
so far.
smash some words together. I only have like one little rhyme. It's I'm Star Tropical. Showdown about three games. That's Triceratopical. That's all I got so far.
That is terrible. Yep.
It's amazing.
I'm with Hunter on that one.
Hello out there, and welcome to episode 136 of One More Podcastle, part of the VGE Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I'm a pretty cool guy, let's be honest. And I'm the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I am raising the roof.
Raise the roof.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian. And I've now officially declared war in Bosnia.
What did Bosnia ever do to
but
you?
Why? What haven't they done?
I don't know. What have I'm not too familiar with Bosnia.
You're not familiar with the Bosnian Jason conflict of 07?
Something my dad always said, that war is God's way of teaching us geography.
Yeah.
Nice. So war. I'm going to borrow that. Can you tell him Eric Bailey is a big fan of that saying? War is God's way of teaching us geography. That's funny. Parents are great with sayings, aren't they?
Yeah, he had a few. He had a few.
You need to start working on your sayings.
I have a few. I've told you guys about my mom, what she would always say. Don't be so open-minded that your brain falls out. I thought that was pretty good.
Whoa. But now you got to work on your own because you've got a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Shoot.
That's right.
How do you inspire a child? I mean, that's a big responsibility. You have to really convict them of the importance of leading a fulfilling, productive life. Contributing to society. And what experience do I have to lean on but decades spent playing video games? I suppose I could try to come up with sayings that come from those games.
You better.
Yeah.
You better. Yeah.
You know what? My daughter, my advice to you is press start.
I was thinking something similar, like press B to continue, or A for next, or something like that.
You know what? Two-player mode B. Stick and move, little Mac. Stick and move.
When he drops his hands, punch him in the mouth.
You know, actually, I think it will come up every once in a while, because like when I used to hang out with my mom and my sister, who knew a lot of game references, there are certain games we played together. And so they would come up in conversation with quotes and stuff. One of my favorites was from F-Zero X on Nintendo 64. The announcer is hilarious. But he says, "You're going the wrong way!" So I still say that every once in a while, but now I'm in a household where nobody's going to know why I'm saying that or where that comes from. I'm just going to sound like some crazy guy in the corner. Like, I'm going to be teaching my daughter how to drive.
No, that's how it always comes off.
And she's going to go the wrong way down a runway street, and I'm just going to, instead of being freaked out and scared and scream and correct her, I'm just going to laugh and say, "You're going the wrong way!" She's like, "Dad, what is wrong with you?"
Oh, man, I feel bad for her now.
Yeah.
I do a lot of Smash TV stuff, big money, big prizes. I love it. Good luck. You'll need it.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, like Rock and Roll Racing with Larry Loudmouth. He always had some pretty good ones. Like, "Holy Toledo!" It's just the dumbest. "The stage is set. The green flag drops."
Oh yeah, that's a classic. I could always quote Dragon Warrior. I have no tomatoes. I have no tomatoes today. Really, really inspiring stuff right there.
It actually makes me want to play Castlevania 2 just so I can get all the broken references that you get from, like, the townspeople and just repeat those all the time.
Or just every night.
I'm not going to play that game. It's
instead of a bedtime story, I'm just going to, like, crack open my daughter's bedroom door and whisper, "What a horrible night for a curse." And they close the door.
It's terrible, man. It's pretty terrible. Yeah. That's terrible.
I don't care if she's 4 or 14. Every night, 10 years straight. What a horrible night to have a curse. Oh, that'll be great.
I want you to do that the first time she brings a guy over to meet you. I just want to lean in and just whisper that in his ear.
Yep. And who is this? Oh, oh. Sir, before you tell me your name, I just want you to know, it's a horrible night to have a curse. Your dad is so weird.
But the one guy who gets it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, Castlevania 2." He'd be like, "Marry this man."
Yep. I'm sorry, daughter. You are forbidden to see anyone else. You must marry this one. I don't care if you discover you're incompatible. He can live here, and we'll play video games. That's just how it's gonna be.
There you go. I will adopt him. All right, well, that was good. That was fun.
So have you guys played? Yeah. You guys ready to talk about Avengers?
Yes, this is let's a, talk like, about Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I played some video games.
Oh.
So we're not going to talk about the Avengers? I don't want to be here anymore.
Okay, we can talk about Avengers.
No, Jason, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I actually do have to, I have to interject briefly. I mentioned that I grew up in a household where we had different quotes back and forth. And my sister, like my real life actual sister, just one of my favorites, she mentioned the live stream, is from Pokemon Puzzle League on Nintendo 64. You can play as different gym leaders. And Blaine, he says, "When you're hot, you're hot." That's a good one to pull out in random situations. "Hunter, you look really good today." "Well, when you're hot, you're hot." Yeah, for those who missed it, before we started live streaming, we were just talking about the Avengers. So we're really not in the mood to talk about video games. We might have to cancel the podcast tonight.
Yeah. Or you just have an all Avengers podcast.
It's a sad day.
Mm-hmm.
We could.
There's Avenger video games.
I just haven't seen the new movie yet, so.
Let's spoil
That's
it.
That's true. I think the NES one is better than people give it credit for. I think people hate it because it's not like the arcade game, which I think is a little unfair.
No, it's not.
I do understand, though, the frustration about the fact that when one character dies, you have to, like, conquer three cities just to get back to him to rescue him. But my solution is just don't die. Or if you die once, don't rescue that other guy. Just keep playing without him. Go Rogue, you know? Or rather, go Captain America, as Rogue is not actually an Avenger, especially in that game.
Okay, let's talk about something he does know about, like video games.
Have you guys even played any old video games this week?
I did. I played and I beat an old video game.
Ooh, you beat one!
Whoa. Yeah, so I'm on a bit of a Star Wars kick.
Nice.
Because I'm a little hyped. So I decided to play Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2.
Oh, the sequel!
Because the old game I beat before that was Dark Forces, so now I'm playing the sequel, and it's fantastic.
Nice,
good.
So it's good. It's good.
Oh, it's good. It takes original, adds in an actual story, like better story. You know, there's some really cheesy full motion video cutscenes. There's a bunch of Dark Jedi in it. This thing called the Valley of the Jedi. It's Force Ghosts.
Awesome.
It's good old fashioned revenge. It's great.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. If anyone wants to actually go and play it, which you should, because it's on good old games and Steam. If you're on Windows 7, it's gonna work great. If you're on Windows 8, you won't be able to do 3D acceleration, like the direct 3D stuff, so your resolution's going to suck. But there's an unofficial patch, so go find it. It's called Voodoo something.
Voodoo
something. You'll be able to play it in lovely 1080p or 1440p or 4K if you wanted to. You should play Jedi Knight in 4K, because a game from 1997 deserves it. Those textures are so crisp.
That's one way to describe them. Crisp.
But no, it's a fantastic game. You get a lightsaber. You get to kill people.
Hey, you know what? You can sell me on any game if you just say, you get a lightsaber, and you get to kill people with it.
You get to kill stuff.
I'd be like, sold.
What's better than that?
There's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so far Jason is winning. Hunter?
So I just
your counter?
Googled Voodoo something, and the first thing that pops up is a Gilligan's Island episode called Voodoo Something to Me.
But yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the patch.
Okay, good.
You just drag the Gilligan episode into the Jedi Knight folder.
It's like, obviously.
Obviously I want to play in 4K now.
Yes. That all makes sense. That darn Gilligan and his coconut phone. I played...
Coconut lightsaber.
It would smell good.
Which he uses to cut coconuts open. I was going to say, ironically, he does, but that's not actually ironic. So I went ahead and said it anyway because I'm an idiot. Unless the coconuts were like, you know, had a reputation for not being lightsaber cut up. Never mind.
I didn't know the coconuts get what have you played, Hunter? A reputation of anything. I played Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh! Man, what a great time to play that game. And that game is all the rage right now. The ukulele hype going on. I knew we had you on this podcast for a reason.
Seeming that I've played Super Mario 64 not too long ago, I was able to kind of remember certain things and compare the two games, and Banjo-Kazooie definitely steps up. Just the 3D platformer where Mario 64 left off. Just little things. To the point of, like, when you collect, like, the big collectible within the level, it doesn't kick you out of the level. Like, you can still continue to play. Like, something like that is so small, but yet when you go back and play Super Mario 64, and you're like, okay, I gotta collect these 7 stars, and then you collect one, and then it kicks you out of the level. And you gotta go back in the level. And then you collect another one, and it kicks you out of the level again. Like, it's so time-consuming. And it's funny. It's a funny game. It's solid. You know, it's just a solid platformer all around. I'm not getting into the hype that the whole ukulele is. I don't have high hopes for it.
Yeah.
So.
Really?
Well...
It's made by the Rare team.
And that's great. I'm happy for them. But the thing you have to... I've been hurt before when it comes to Kickstarter. I'm still hurting and bleeding from Kickstarter.
Fair enough. I have too. That's fair. That's fair.
So I've become more cautious, such as... what was their budget? It was like $300,000, something like that.
Yeah.
And they've got like $3 million now, I think. Like $3.3 million. But to get a copy of the game is only $15, which makes me wonder, what game do they have in mind that they only need $300,000 that they're going to make enough money to make another game at only selling them $15 a pop? Like, that math doesn't make sense. Like, it's the same kind of thing that I had issues with Broken Age when Double Fine was making Broken Age. It's like, hey, we want to make this adventure game. We need $300,000. $200,000 for the game. $100,000 for the documentary we're going to make. And it's $15 for the game when you pledge. And 3 years later, they finally release half of the game. And it's like, well, what game were you planning on making for $200,000 that you thought you were going to make enough profit to make another game? Like, that doesn't... It doesn't make any sense. That's bad math. And math is really hard.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but you're absolutely right. There's been some high-profile Kickstarters that, when they've been grilled on what their budget is, it gets a little bit sketchy. I forget which one it was, but I remember someone asking, like, so I did the math. I can't figure out why you need this much money. Why do you need this much money? And the head guy, like the big head, I don't remember which one it was. Sorry, I'm not hip on all the developers. Like, it was one of the big ones, though. His response literally was, well, the team all lives in San Francisco, so we need to pay them between $10,000 and $12,000 a month while they're working on it.
Yeah.
Because of the living expenses. And it's like, what? Like, holy crap.
Move to Michigan, stupid. Hire programmers out of Alaska. Like,
I mean,
yeah.
Do we really live in a world where we all need to be in San Francisco to make this game? I'd be like, yeah, I'm in San Francisco right now. I need $10,000 a month to make this game.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, crap. Populist.
And but, I get it, because, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that, especially when you're, like, an indie developer, like, you do everything. You make the game, you publish the game, you market the game, you HR the game, you PR the game. I get that. I understand that there are people that you hire to put in those positions to make those things happen, and you are the one controlling all of that. Like, the last Call of Duty cost, like, $200 million to make. $50 million was just for the game, and $150 million was for marketing. It's Call of Duty. Do you really need to market that much for Call of Duty? Or is there any other tactical, military, first-person shooters out there that are going to take your market share? Like, come on. Like, that's...
Because I'm going to... Yeah.
That's upsetting.
So I'm going to do the math right now. $150 million divided by 50. That's 50 bucks. That's 3 million copies you would need to sell. To entirely new customers who would have never seen the game before had you not marketed, to make that marketing worth it. And that's not counting the fact that you're not making 50 bucks profit on each game. Like, there's the cost of the case, the disc, the everything.
Yeah.
I'm not a smart business guy, but you have to pay people too. You have to subtract that from each unit you sell for accounting. And I mean, yeah, there's no way. Like, no wonder nobody actually makes video games anymore, like AAA huge stuff. You know, indie all the way. I'm with Hunter so hard on that.
Yeah, because I mean, if you spend $200 million on a project and you miss, like, that's bankruptcy for 80% of companies.
Yeah.
Like, that's what kind of, like, throws me through a loop, because, like, if you look at the footage that they've already created for Yooka-Laylee, granted it's a demo, but it's like they've spent time to create this engine. They have assets that they're going to put in this world. Did they do that for free? Probably not. They probably had a backer or some sort of angel fund just to get them off the ground. But if they did that much work and they only need 300,000 more, I don't see this being a very good game. If you want my money and you want to make like a AAA title, you need to charge $40, $50 a pop to get a digital copy on these pledges.
I can't get on board that boat either, though. They're such a small team.
Why not? I mean, they're...
I think the game could be easily worth $10-15. Like, if it's, it could be. How many 3D platformers do you get to play now?
No, I know, and that's probably one of the reasons why it's blowing up as big as it is. But yeah. I mean, realistically, if you've gone this far with, let's say, next to nothing, and you only need $300,000 to finish the game, and you know why wouldn't you go for it? I mean, some of these guys they put pledges on there that are, you know, $10,000 and $100,000, and they sell out. People are buying this shit. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's like, if you're gonna do that, then spend make it $30 for the digital download, or $35. Don't make it 15, because 15's got, at least for me anyway, has a bad taste in my mouth from all the other Kickstarters that I'm still waiting for them to come. It's been 4 years.
So you basically want a premium Kickstarter. You want something where they're like, here, we're going to deliver this. This is going to be a really good damn game, not some half-assed product that we're just scamming off you.
No, I want it to be like, I don't know, like, it's got to be a fine line for me. Because I still go back to, again, the double fine thing, where it's like, I want to make an adventure game. Okay, what do you got? Nothing. I got a resume.
Kickstarter was like the hot thing for a while. Then it actually, like, last year, it actually kind of dipped. People were like, I'm Kickstartered out. And now it's starting to come back, where there's a very specific niche where it can still be huge. It's either huge or nothing. If you're a three-person team that nobody's heard of, you're going to fail. It's not going to happen. But if you're already famous, there's totally money out there for you.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's you have to be famous to make money through it. It's it's these guys who've been working for these big companies. The big companies have gone, you know what? This type of game doesn't make enough money for us to justify. And then they go, well, we would still like to make a couple $100,000, so I guess we'll just go to Kickstarter.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
Get the money up front.
You know, with...
Sell more copies
with Double Fine and Broken Age, it's like... I mean, because you're going to do bundles and stuff through Steam, but it's like with Double Fine, it's like they got $3 million, and they burned through it before the game was done. So they had to get more backers. They had to bring on, like, a third party to help them finish funding the game. And it's like, maybe they should just cut it. You know, it'd be like, we need $500,000 to make this game. It's $30 a pop. Oh, all right, you reach $500,000 in 5 minutes. All right, Kickstarter's done.
Yeah.
Everything else is just pre-orders. We can't touch the money until it's released.
They're notoriously bad at anything money-related anyway. Plus, it doesn't help when you're hiring voice talent like Jack Black to be in your adventure game.
Right, yeah, like, that's not necessary.
If you're being money-conscious, you wouldn't go, you know what, let's get a Hollywood A-lister and pay him some money.
Let's get Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
To play one of the main protagonists for a game that's going to get a 5 out of 10.
And to be clear, like, as critical as I am of Kickstarter, and I can go on an anti-Kickstarter rant all night, but it's still a great idea, and a lot of good has come from it, and crowdfunding is an excellent use of the internet in general. It's a great way people can come together. It's just, I can't help but see that, let's theoretically say, you're a guy who's been studying game design for 4 years. You have a degree in it. You know programming in 3 different languages. You're an expert in 2 different game engines. And you have a killer, awesome, like, legitimately really good concept. Don't see how you're going to get funded on that alone. It just seems like the leverage is skewed towards those who just have a public profile. Hey, I made a classic game 20 years ago. Oh, my money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's brutal.
It's complicated. It's easier. It's easy to complain. That's all.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you know, if I had the time and the dedication to put my priorities in a different lineup, I would love to make a game.
Sure.
You know,
I would love to learn how to make
totally
a game.
Go Cave Story and then just do it on my free weekends. Yeah, it's going to take me 4 years to do it, but it'll get done.
That's me. Yep.
Die, monster! You don't belong in this world!
So, we actually have a listener email discussion question. Banjo-Kazooie! Good stuff. So, listener email discussion question this week goes like this. Hey there, Bailey, Hunter, and Jason. I've been listening since about episode 15, but I don't know the origin of the podcast. How did you fine gentlemen and retro game aficionados begin the podcast? Did you know each other prior to recording? I assume your introduction was akin to a buddy cop movie. Thanks for the weekly entertainment. Someday I'll make the live stream Silly Work and West Coast Time. Signed, Jen. And this is the Jennifer Heard on Twitter. That's JE1NIFER_HURD. So... thanks for writing in, Jen. Good to hear from you. Every once in a while we hear from Jen, because she's a longtime fan. So, looking forward to your guys' perspectives. How did you get involved? How did this podcast start?
I got an email.
Jason was a streetwalker.
Yes.
Down on his luck.
Yes, and I had to pay the bills.
I guess I'll tell my bit, I guess. I was on a forum, which I believe the website still exists. It does. I was on a retro gaming website forum, racketboy.com.
Yes!
I frequent quite a bit. Oh. I frequent quite a bit until I was deemed not cool enough to talk about old games.
Oh, wow.
So, it was pretty interesting. It was a very interesting debacle back and forth. But either way.
I wish I had known about this.
Some of their stuff's still pretty cool. Like their guides, they're like oh. game collection guides. They're still really good.
Incredible. They're like, they're must play games per console, and it's like in depth coverage of like 50 different ones. It's like, what? Awesome stuff. Yeah.
The games under like $10 that you can play, and
yeah,
it's so that bit of the site's really good. I got a bad taste in my mouth in the forum. Anyway, the first time I was on, just kind of shooting around the retro gaming threads, and I saw a post from somebody named Nintendo Legend, and it was a link to his new site that he was working with another, and one of their featured posts, which was created by a guy named Paul Potvin. Which was the top 10 overlooked game licenses or something like that. Mm-hmm. Which I actually read last week because I remembered it and I was like, oh, I need to look at that again. Just being a huge fan of top 10 lists that I am, I popped on over to the website. The site was onemorecastle.com, and the it was hilarious. It was a really good... There's nothing like seeing the artwork for Pulp Fiction on a Game Boy box. That's a good one.
We miss Paul. He got married and got busy, but his articles were great. For that article, it's not just like top 10 underutilized movie licenses for games, but there's actually like Photoshopped cartridge art or box art for the game. So it's really cool.
And it was a really well-written piece. So I was getting ready to click off, and then the other thing that I saw that was on the site that I also found either hilarious or just plain wrong was the Get Over Here, We Want You to Contribute to One More Castle, which was a picture of what appears to be Sub-Zero because he's in the blue clan, but is actually Scorpion throwing his spear. I'm like, well, clearly these guys don't know what they're doing. They don't know
Andrew.
They're Sub-Zero. Yeah, I figured. So anyway,
even I know that.
And on that link, it said that they were accepting proposals for new and interesting written, video, and audio content. Now, I have a fairly diverse audio background. I am self-taught, done quite a few audio pieces, including radio dramas and podcasts, interview shows, editing, that kind of thing. It's kind of my jam, so to say. So I sent an email, which I believe it went to Andrew. Stating that I had an idea to do a audio show. I believe that's how I put it, because I wasn't thinking of doing this. This was never my idea. This was never my intentions. And then sending my resume of links and stuff and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Really enjoy retro video games. I got a site I've written a little bit. And then nothing for 2 weeks. And I kind of, I was like, wow, well, that's great. And then I got an email from Bailey stating that, hey, sorry, it's been so long. You know, we're talking about doing a podcast recently. And it was just interesting that sent us that email. Mm-hmm. We're still figuring stuff out, blah, blah, blah. And then, I mean, you know, basically, couple of emails later, said, okay, this is the night we can do it, and then we recorded, and I've been dreading it ever since.
Every week.
That's
bad. I had no idea it was from Racket Boy. I had no idea.
Man, yeah, because once I sent that email out, I was like, and I didn't hear anything. I was like, oh, okay, whatever, maybe the guys are just busy doing whatever. And then you sent another email out because you had written a piece about the fighting order for the Street Fighter Cross Mega Man fan game that was released.
Oh,
on
yep.
the like the 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary of Mega Man. And I was like, there's this guy again. I thought I sent him an email.
Yeah, man. I used to be so cool.
What?
I used to hang out on all the retro gaming forums and get all the exclusive scoops.
Yeah.
Oh, those were the days. So I remember when the woman who owns Wisdom Tree tipped me to the reproduction of Noah's Ark 3D I got to be the guy to break that. That
really?
Was, yeah. That blew up a little bit. That was cool. Like, people thought I was joking. I was like, no, like, look, look, I have art. Like, photographs she has taken of the new boxes and stuff. I was like, what? Man, bringing back nice. Memories. I used to be on Nintendo Age a lot. Yeah. Cool stuff. Thank you, Hunter. That was a pleasure for
so
me.
So that's
to
my
hear,
side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah, mine's much less interesting. I guess after you guys decided you're doing a podcast, an email went out to all the writers, and I said I'd be interested, and it just turned out that my time lined up with your guys' time, and here
yeah.
I am. And Andrew, I guess, vouched and said this guy is not a total dick.
He was the one who kind of pushed you into it. On
yeah.
the vetting and.
Yeah.
'Cause on my end, yeah, also kind of anticlimactic because I've never done anything related to podcasting. I barely knew what a podcast was. And Andrew emails me. He's like, you know, we should have a podcast. I was like, oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, sure. Cool. Who would do it?
I should have a third arm growing out of my head.
Who cares? Yeah, he was like, well, you could host. I was like, whoa. I don't even know what that means. He's like, no, it's cool. We'll come up with a really easy format. You just talk about old video games. I'm like, okay, I can do that. And we got the email from Hunter. We're like, well, he can do it. We should probably have a third guy, just so it's not like two guys. I don't know. I don't know why we decided on three people. But...
weird, just so it's not weird.
Because we had a few other people who, like Jason, were interested, but I know at least one of them couldn't do it because of time. And then I remember Andrew, just like a one-sentence summary of Jason. He was like, yeah, I know Jason. He'd be good. I was like, well, let's just go with Jason then. He's Canadian.
I guess we'll just go with this guy.
Yeah, so that was it for me. It was just I kind of got thrust. Again, no podcasting experience. And I was like, welcome to episode one. I'm now the host. While you guys were talking, I remembered another classic video game quote. I like shorts. They're comfy and easy to wear.
Oh God.
What's that from?
Pokemon.
Ah. It is from Pokemon.
It is.
I mean, I like Pokemon, but...
You should take that whiteboard away from you.
That's right. So those listening to the podcast, Bailey now has obtained a dry erase board that is flexible, and he is now, rather than just telling us his disdain... and ignorance for old games. He can also draw pictures with funny captions.
Lucky us.
Just to hurt our feelings.
Just another reason to tune into the live stream. 7:30 p.m. Central Time, Thursday evenings. Thank you, Jen Hurd, for your listener email. If you out there in audience land want to send your own email, you can do that. The email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. Send us a question, we'll answer it. Pretty simple. So do it. Send that email. It's time for a music break. We're back. That was Fammy Funk Over Breakfast by Rocco W. Some 8-bit styled lo-fi action. In my opinion, very reminiscent of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 for the NES. So something I found and really liked. So check that out. You can download it on the episode page at onemorecastle.com. Speaking of stuff I like, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone out there in audience world who doesn't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game before we got on the show. We're going to have 1 minute to introduce our choices individually, and then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode kind of arguing with each other about who picked the best game. The best part is that after the entertainment of us insulting each other, just being hysterical, hopefully hysterically funny, you get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast page. So it's interactive. There's actually some bragging rights going on here. There are stakes in this game, I tell ya. So that's the idea behind the Retro Showdown. And we typically have a theme. 2 weeks ago, we had already, I'm calling it, it's a classic theme. 2 weeks ago, we had games you would put on a sandwich. And the winner of that showdown, I'm happy to say, was not Jason. I'm so happy. The winner was not Jason. I know.
Bull. That's fine. No, I don't care who it is after that. As long as the winner is not Jason.
But even better, it was Hunter.
Who was it?
It was Hunter.
Ah.
Had Jason won, it would have been some true shenaniganery, because Jason brought Pickle Wars for DOS, and I don't care how big of a Jason fan you are. It's not a well-known... Hunter brought Pikmin. I mean, come on. Pikmin versus Pickle Wars.
That's right.
I brought Chef's Love Shack. And,
that's right.
I don't know how I got 3 votes. I got a few votes. But Jason, you did come in second place. So there you go. Pickle Wars almost did it. Yeah. But you lost. So suck it, Jason.
This is where I have to reveal my stats. For those who don't know.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I decided to spend some time, for some reason, going through literally every episode of this podcast to determine overall vote counts, just to see who has won the most. And we'll start with in third place.
Let me ask a question first before we get into this. So you posted on Twitter that it wasn't until episode 67 that we started announcing who the winner was, or something like that?
No, it wasn't until episode... pull the spreadsheet. No, we started announcing on episode 4. The problem was that we kept forgetting from time to time to announce, and that stretched all the way until episode 79.
Wow.
So did you just go to the poll and just take that as what who the winner was?
No. I've left it blank because I don't know who the actual winner was that week.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't want to do like a kind of inflated, because people go back and vote still. Like, we've had weeks where on the podcast it'll announce, Bailey's won, and then you go back 3 weeks later and you've won.
Right. Okay, I'm with you.
That's
good. So you just
I just marked those weeks as missing. So basically, in third place, surprisingly, and I just added this last one to it, is Hunter.
Oh, what?
With 28.
That's wins.
He's won 28 times, but 28. Yep, 28 times. You're in third place. You do win the record for most weeks not one in a row, where you spent a grand total of 19 weeks with nothing.
Nice.
Holy cow. That's amazing.
That's 19.
I am terrible at this.
That's like 5 months. That's almost half a year.
Yeah, no, it was nuts. It was just like a huge break.
It's a big gap there.
Yeah. All the way, yes. You won episode 72. It didn't win again until episode 92.
Holy cow.
In second place is Bailey. Narrowly with 29.
What?
Really? Wow.
And then I came in first with 39.
Huh.
39?
We have some
39.
Catching up to do. That's...
So you've... We've got 10 weeks of wins to catch up to.
Tom Hall is our number one winning guest with 4. Followed up shortly.
He's got 4?
He has 4. Joe Walker has 3.
Dang.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need to put together like a Wikipedia page that keeps track of all this stuff.
Someone start a podcast wiki.
All right. I'll do it.
All right. Cool.
I've already got the spreadsheet.
All right. I love how long this episode is going. This is good.
I know. This is great.
But thank you, Jason, for doing that research.
Yay.
It's kind of sobering know that I would have to win every showdown for the next 3 months in a row, no stops, no breaks, just to catch up to you.
Just don't lose for the next 19.
I think, had I known that, you know what, I'm not going to say anything.
I kind of want to go back and see what games I picked for those 5 months that I never won.
Oh no, there's no rhyme or reason. There's just some BS.
Okay,
there's just some BS wins.
I was
wins.
Like, if I was just picking stinkers, then that's understandable. But
Hunter's really good at bringing like obscure, cool games.
Yeah.
Jason's good at just bringing wacky games, and then for some reason people vote for him. Like he knows that very specific sweet spot of the internet audience where. I'm going to pick something so ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well.
Whatever.
I'm going to win tonight.
There
so
we
doesn't
go.
Matter.
Cool.
And then we're going to be tied.
Is it 29-28?
It's still so far behind Jason.
It is 29-28. As long as me and Hunter just keep rolling. Sleep Jason out of it. Now, see, because we've had this conversation, everyone's going to vote for Jason. I see what's going to happen. Jason knew what he was
No, see Aaron's already say that he's going to vote for Hunter and give him a hug.
Nice, I see. Yeah. So if Hunter if Hunter wins twice in a row, I will definitely be in last place, like decidedly last.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Decidedly.
Got it. All right. That being said, tonight's theme, suggested by last week's guest host, Pam, aka best guest host ever. She suggested we do space games, to which we were all like, why have we not done space games yet? So.
I mean, we did games that would fit in a sandwich. So,
We did games that would make a great movie. Time. We did games with a bus in them. Games with a cool inanimate object in the background. Games with the worst wardrobe choice by the protagonist. We've done never a game in space. Space
never
game.
Did space
never games. Did space
no.
games.
Why did we do that?
So, I have a game picked. So, Jason, if you have a minute for me, I think I'm ready to go.
You may begin.
So, I wanted to really capture the cultural zeitgeist tonight, really just tap into the public consciousness and just sweep in all the votes. So, I figured Ukulele can't have all the fun. I wanted to pick a game that was made by Rare, you know, back in the day. In the classic era, you know, and so I that's what I did. It's a 1989 release. Yeah, it's kind of old. It's for the NES. I picked Astro Grover for the NES. That's right, Astro Grover. Technically, Astro Grover itself is not a game. It's part of Sesame Street 1-2-3, which has two games on it. One that does not involve space, and the other one. Which involves space being Astro Grover. It's a math game. Astro Grover.
Astro Grover.
Astro.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Hunter. Are you ready?
I keep forgetting that Rare made all these really weird Sesame Street games.
The hell. All
right. Yes. All right. Sorry.
You may begin.
Really good music.
So space is our theme. Games with space in them. But I can't. I'm a sci-fi guy. I can't just stop at space. I had to keep going. I needed aliens. I needed spaceships. I needed time travel. I needed Space Quest IV, Roger Wilco, and the Time Rippers. What is Roger Wilco? Well, let me tell you. In Space Quest IV, you play as the lowly janitor. Known as Roger Wilco, who for some odd reason is being attacked by people going through time. Now, do you play Space Quest 4? No. You play all of the Space Quest games, past and present, within Space Quest 4.
Hmm. All right.
Roger Wilco and the Time Ripper.
Ah, Ace went over time. You're disqualified.
No, he's good. He still has 5 seconds.
Damn. Oh, boo. I was totally going to...
Space Quest 4.
I was
gonna...
There you go.
Oh, I was going to mute him for the rest
of the
episode.
Astro Grover.
All right, I guess I'll begin.
Yeah, you don't have to. We can just me and Hunter argue. You've won too many times. Screw you, Jason.
Sorry.
Nobody actually.
It's January 1990. I'll be turning the splendid age of 2. George W. Bush Sr.'s ranting about something. And Dino Wars: Destruction of Spondylus is out on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Tagline is Cyborosaurus must be unleashed. The Dino Wars must begin. And I have to say, from the game box, it goes something like this. Something went terribly wrong in a distant man-made Spondylus solar system. One by one, the planet's central life support computers have been infected with a life-threatening virus, while the planet's surface has been overrun with computerized dinosaurs known as Robosaurs. Long story short, Professor Proteus figures out it must be his deranged foe, Dr. Brainius, unleashing these Robosaurs, thus beginning the Dino Wars.
Now that's triceratopical.
Wow.
Well, what were the odds someone was going to bring a dinosaur game? I was thinking, no way someone would bring a dinosaur game. Especially this week, and then Jason did it. Dang it, I hate you, Jason, because I really like Dino Wars. I actually think it's a really good game.
That's actually, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it has some issues with, like, hitbox detection and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, and some of the precision jumping puzzles are cheap. Like, it gets pretty frustratingly hard.
But in true NES fashion.
Yeah, but it has level passwords, so it's not as frustrating as something where you have to play through the whole thing over and over. Like,
Space Dinosaurs.
It's one of those games that I play, and I'm sitting and I'm playing it, and I get it. I'm playing a video game. I understand that. Yeah. But still, who would develop and design a room that consists of 2 moving platforms and nothing but spikes at the bottom on the floor?
Obviously dinosaurs would.
What function does that have within taking time and effort and money to create such a room of death and destruction?
I said it was his deranged former partner, the Dr. Brainius. Obviously he's deranged and is going to make a weird spiky platform room.
I mean, yeah. I mean, do you have like
it was
that...
the result of a Kickstarter gone wrong?
Exactly. I don't know what to do with this extra $1 million. Spike room. Spike room.
Spike room.
Spike room.
Just install some. It's
starting to smell with all the gore and dead bodies at the bottom. Maybe we should hire somebody to clean it.
After installing the spikes, you realize, shit, the kitchen's over there. All right, put in some floating platforms. We'll just have to kind of hop over.
But you don't want to make it too easy, so you got to put in like some sensory robots that are going to be like shooting at you regardless of who you are at all times.
Yeah, I really will start bashing the game any second, but I guess the audio listeners, you can't see it, but I'm holding up the cartridge for Dino Wars. I love the art. It's so in your face and crazy. It shows like a cybernetic warrior robot guy shooting a dinosaur through the side of the head. Just taking out his laser pistol and blammo. Shooting a
pretty
dinosaur.
Awesome.
It's pretty freaking sweet.
There you go.
Yeah. Astro Grover.
Astro Grover.
And I don't think Grover's qualified to be an astronaut.
No, see, he is.
No.
He is. I mean, he is an alien. Look at him. But the cool thing is, Astro Grover is actually a collection itself of 5 different games. They are called, and I quote, "How many zips? Beam that number. Adding countdown. Take it away, zips. Sum up, sum down." Those are the games in Astro Grover for the NES.
So, why?
Why?
I'll say this. Space Quest 4, Roger Wilco and the Time Rippers sounds ridiculous. And at least intriguing, even though it's like a Sierra adventure game.
It's okay. So not
like
only
King's Quest, not 4? Is it the same
right?
Game?
Yeah. So it's the same company. Yeah.
It's the same.
So not only is it a adventure point and click game, but it is the hardest of hardcore when it comes to Sierra point and click games like this. Sierra Games is somebody who's not like completely familiar. Gaming company back in like the mid to late 80s, early 90s, got their hit making adventure games. Like, they made other games, but none of them were as popular as their adventure games, like King's Quest and Space Quest. But they made a different kind of adventure game. They made an adventure game that not only was it, you had to learn their sense of humor to play the game and to finish the puzzles, but also allowed you access to areas that were you were unable to get out of unless if you had the necessary items to complete the puzzle. So like Space Quest is especially 4 is a perfect example of this. One of the first areas that you go to, you find a grate. And the way that Sierra did it was it's like anything that was like overly pixelated or kind of brighter than everything else, those were the items you could interact with. And there's a grate in the ground that you can open and fall down. The problem is this grate's one of the first things that you find within the game, but you technically can't finish the puzzle until about 45 minutes into the game. So you're supposed to journey about for 45 minutes, get everything, then come back, open the grate, go down. So if you go down the grate beforehand, your game is literally over, but the game doesn't tell you that. It just lets you sit there and stew. So you're going around clicking on stuff, trying to put marshmallows in the CD player, thinking that's going to get the thing to work, and it doesn't, trust me. And that's actually one of the answers in one of the Space Quest games. You have to put marshmallows in a CD player. I don't remember what joke was, but there's a lot of, you know, like a stick in the mud is an actual stick in the mud that talks, and he's kind of rude and mean. Like, they don't make games like this anymore.
There's a
For
reason.
Good reason.
Hunter, there's a reason.
People don't enjoy fun.
I remember a period where it seemed like half of the games that came out on PC were made by Sierra.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days. And I could never get into their games. I just couldn't. And I knew they were popular. Yeah. I knew a lot of copies must be selling out there because a lot of them kept coming out. So like I had like some actual reckoning. Like, is there something wrong with me as a gamer? Like, Sierra made me doubt my gamerhood. Sierra sucks.
Mm,
good.
Screw you, Sierra.
You're not worthy.
Well, fine. Taking my Astro Grover and going home.
Astro Grover. Jason, I have already forgotten what game you brought.
Dino Wars.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry.
You're fighting robot dinosaurs that are controlled by planet-sized viruses.
Because
1990
why not?
Was the best goddamn year ever.
Was it?
You know, Valerie Minnick is pointing out in the live stream that Dino Wars is spelled wrong. Like it's
oh no!
It's
oh,
so
it's
90s. They had it spelled with a Z.
Oh, that's it's wars with a Z.
That's right.
Or a Z.
Like what? That's what is Groth said? Ugh.
Gross.
Excuse me. Ugh.
Yeah, Dino Wars. It's amazing.
The controls are a little sticky. Like you don't feel like a very
it's a stiff.
Fluid.
It's kind of a stiff.
Kind of. Yeah, it's stiff. It's stiff. That's a good way to say it. Stiff platformer. And when you actually control the dinosaur, you're limited in how you can attack. There's parts where you kind of like have to hurt yourself to progress.
Yeah.
I've never liked that in a game.
For those who don't know, as well as being this little guy who's shooting dinosaurs with a gun, like a pistol type thing, he also gets to pilot a massive, like, multi-story dinosaur robot to fight the other giant dinosaurs.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like the best thing ever.
Okay, I have to do a little bit of fact checking here. I got to lay down the truth smackdown. I want to clarify this misconception here. Jason is talking about this big, awesome, oh yeah, it's stories high. That's giant.
It's stories high.
No. It's about like 16 pixels high. The sense of scale is not present.
It's present.
You could be a gummy bear for all we know.
Do I need to take a screenshot?
Please do. Show everyone. It doesn't look like, you know, it's an 8-bit game. You can't make it feel like it's.
Yeah, it's got a cool cutscene. Where you're climbing into the dinosaur's head.
Barely counts as a cutscene. It's
no, that counts. There it is.
No, see,
Jane.
What are you doing, Liam?
I just shared it. I just shared it on the page, on the chat. Giant friggin' dinosaur head. It's clearly the guy climbing into a giant dinosaur head. That happens to be a robot.
Okay, but that's not
as you go kick the asses of other robot dinosaurs.
You mean kick the Astro Grover? But so, see, that's
Bailey,
not what it looks like when you're
games.
Playing, though. How I feel about what? I'm sorry.
Like, how do you feel about like the Sesame Street games now? Because there was what, three of them, two or three of them?
There were a few. Yeah, I mean, one of them was just a compilation of the other two.
Is that what it was? Okay.
But there was also like Big Bird's Hide and Speak. Like that's so Sesame Street ABC, Sesame Street 1-2-3, Sesame Street ABC and 1-2-3, Big Bird's Hide and Speak. What's your question?
So I recently played Sesame Street Countdown with the count.
Right.
And I wasn't. It's okay. So it's a game made for kids, obviously, and there's not a whole lot to it.
Yeah.
But I can't fault the game for that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Right. Yep.
You didn't say anything.
That's the strength of Astro Grover, because it's five different games, so it inevitably has to offer something. There's a little bit more there than just nothing.
By sheer volume, you will find at least something you like.
There will be something.
Like, I just don't. Like, I played it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. I mean, yes, I'm counting with the count. Who doesn't want to count with the count? Let's be honest.
Jason.
Come on. Probably not.
I want to count with the count.
I mean, I came from the street, and that was Sesame Street. So I love me some Sesame Street.
Wow. Yeah, see, Hunter's got my back on this.
I just wish that there was another Sesame Street game, like, for the Wii U. That was more adult oriented.
I don't mean nudity and going at it and stuff.
I don't want that.
Jason just said he wants a Muppet
nudity. Grover visits the strip club.
I don't want to roll
Grand Theft Grover.
Oh yes, Grand Theft Grover.
I would play
Grand Theft Grover. Yes.
There's got to be a mod for that.
Oh, there has to be.
And it takes place in Sesame Street. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
You can run over Oscar the Grouch.
It's
wonderful.
I'm in.
There is one.
Three strippers.
I play that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys real quick on Astro Grover. Two things you should know. One is it has some amazing animation. Big sprites, some rotation effects you haven't seen since Captain Skyhawk. Another rare game, you might notice. Amazing music. So the production value is very high. It's a like a high caliber sort of game. Also, the zips referred to in the titles of two of the games within the game are these little cute little green aliens. Who doesn't love cute little green aliens? They're irresistible.
I don't.
Are they dinosaurs?
They're aliens. I'm all for them. Go zips. Hip hip hooray. Mm-hmm. Long live the zips.
The zips. Okay, so looking up this game, Astro Grover! There's a Muppet Wiki, apparently. And the best part on their description of this, they have to justify why he's in space. So there's an additional notes section.
Yes, there is.
Go on.
Where they spell out, Grover has also visited the moon on several occasions, including the Sesame Street 1976 calendar and the Sesame Street Dictionary. He also jumps over the moon in his imagination and the happy, healthy monsters.
Ah, the Muppet Wiki.
So,
Because the last thing on earth you want to know exists is the 48-year-old guy who sits on his laptop late at night making sure that the Big Bird entry has all the correct references.
It better have the correct references.
Or they're going to get a stern email from yours truly.
Stern email. Astro Grover.
Terrible.
I hate you both. Just so you know. Just throw it out there.
I don't know what that means.
I think
I'm bringing a popular game next week. Screw this big nice crap.
Why?
Space Quest.
I didn't bring a popular game.
He's a janitor. Space Quest.
Hunter.
The protagonist.
If anything, he brought the popular game.
He did. Oh yeah, Jason. Yeah, your game's not popular. I'm not talking about you.
Space
why
Quest.
Why you gotta be so self-centered? Always think everyone's talking about you. I'm Jason.
I still think it's odd that I brought a PC game and Jason brought an NES game. I think we're in trouble.
Yeah, that is odd.
That is really where what? Yeah, two NES games this week. Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know.
Can I go back in time in Space Quest and kill Jim Henson before he creates some Muppets? Thus stopping this bad game? That is Grover?
Wow, you have to fight Astro Grover himself.
The farthest back you can go is Space Quest 1, which is thousands of years into the future past Sesame Street. So there's technically no way to go back and unmake Sesame Street. But you can go into the future and create a...
So I can stop future generations?
Well, you can create a new Sesame Street... And say Space Quest 3, and then show up in Space Quest like 12 and destroy it.
Oh, okay.
So.
Cool.
All of that is possible.
Hunter,
but you have to
actually
do it within
the game. I have a serious criticism of your game.
I don't see that to be possible.
Jason, would you agree with me that the gameplay feature of being able to go back to earlier games in a series is kind of a lazy development tactic? It's like, how can we spend like a fourth of the effort? Oh, just shove the other games in there. Have a feature where you can go back to those games. Let's just use their assets.
All these other games are made in this engine.
Yeah, let's just shove that stuff in there. We'll just call it a game. Lazy. We shouldn't encourage that behavior. Don't vote for Hunter's game.
This is like the greatest hits album the Eagles put out, like every 8 years.
But except this is like after only four albums, and one of them wasn't very good. No, after only three. There had only been three albums. One of them wasn't even very good. The band's like, we'll do our best stuff anyway.
This game cost $1 million.
Yes, it did.
No wonder this company went out of business.
So,
who spends $1 million on a point and click?
Well, somebody has spent $3 million on a point and click.
Yes.
This one actually.
Yeah, not in 1991.
That's true. So, normally, I would agree.
$3 million in 1991 was like $4 million.
It's true. So, I would agree. Yes, if you go back and basically do the whole Robot Masters take two, that's not. I wouldn't agree with that. But so this is Space Quest 4. So that means that there's three games that you can go back and do. But the other thing to keep in mind is you also go into the future to Space Quest 12. So that means that they made eight more games to put into Space Quest 4. So, yes, I mean, going back to Space Quest 1, 2, and 3, that's tough. But if you're going all the way up to 12, if you're making, like, eight more games just to put bits and pieces of them in Space Quest 4, I mean, I think it's worth your money.
But that's not what they did. So it's, what you're saying right now is total, doesn't have any.
It's more like Space Quest 10 bore.
Jason,
it's terrible. Why even?
Listen to him laugh at himself. Like, what are you? Jeez. And our time is up. I'm cutting it. Final arguments, guys. Hunter, why should anyone vote for a lazy, basically the clip show episode equivalent of a video game?
What? No. It's not that at all.
Okay, Jason.
Excellent argument.
Final arguments. Why should anyone vote for a game solely on the basis of one admittedly cool-looking screenshot?
Well, Dino Wars, Destruction of Spondylus. Spondylus? Yeah, Dino Wars, Destruction of Spondylus has robot freaking dinosaurs in space that you're fighting with your giant robot dinosaur. It's pretty cool.
It's not as cool as it sounds, everyone. Just a fair warning. Actually, it is, but don't tell them I said that. So, you should vote for Astro Grover this week. Because, and I'm just going to reduce it to a mantra to get stuck in your head all week. Vote for it. Vote Grover. And that's my theme. I want you to vote on your home computer, on your work computer, on your phone. Remember, everyone, vote Grover. Astro Grover for NES. Vote Grover.
2016.
Vote Grover. I want it stuck in your head. I want you to feel compelled. I want you to be hypnotized. Vote Grover. Is everyone clear?
Wait, what am I doing?
You're voting Grover. Got that?
Oh, okay.
That's my final argument.
Space Quest.
Vote Grover.
Roger Wilkins.
I want to thank
Dino
the live
Wars.
Stream viewers who also left comments.
Shh, Jason.
Some good, lively discussion tonight. Always happy to see that. That's why you should tune in, 7:30 p.m. We tweet the link from One More Castle. That's how we do this. So, thank you, Jonathan Higgins, Edward Varnell, Valerie Minnick. Those of you who watched but didn't leave comments, thank you. Walter Williams leaving comments. Aaron Alcorn, thank you guys. Much, much appreciated. I appreciate your support. So, yeah, we it's a party every week at the One More Podcastle. Jason, do you have anything to add? Any reminders? Especially to vote for Grover.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'd like to give a shout out to, you know what? I'm going to give a shout out to Professor Proteus. May he survive the Dino Wars.
Nice. That's real nice of you, Jason. Nice. Hunter! Any shout outs, self plugs, reminders to vote Grover?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. For all things me, check out ericandhunter.net.
It's good.
Good.
Excellent. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo _Legend. There's an underscore in the middle there. I really should talk to Twitter about letting me have the Nintendo Legend account without the underscore. The guy took it, didn't use it, hasn't tweeted for years. Just let me have it. I should talk to him about it. I really should. My reminder is vote Grover. So, vote Astro Grover.
Wait, do what?
Do you need another reminder, Hunter? Vote Dino Wars. I mean Grover. Son of a dang it! I ruined it. But seriously,
Space Quest 4.
That's the One More Podcast. It's a retro gaming podcast we do every week because we like to talk about old video games. And remember. Audience, last but not least, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.